You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Friday, April the 19th. I am your host, Mike Oliva, flying solo today. As I got a topic I sort of want to talk about here is we are less than a week away from the NFL draft. Concerning the Dolphins and how they should, you know, what the thought process is of Chris Greer heading into this draft. And I think there's two very distinct approaches he has, whether he should be playing the long game or whether he should be playing the short game here. And I'm going to discuss all that on today's show and dive into, you know, roster construction and what's the best approach to continue building this Miami Dolphins roster to a point where hopefully we can win an AFC East, hopefully win some playoff games, and maybe even go a little further and win a Super Bowl. But before I get to that, as always, a big shout out to everyone listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout-out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page run by the great Carlos Hernandez. If you're on Facebook, please be sure you are part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Podchaser, we are on all the platforms, all of them. Hit that subscribe button right now if you can. Don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button because we're going to have you covered in the lead up to the draft. And on draft night, we're going to have a spectacular on our YouTube channel. So you want to make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel as well. And you don't want to miss an episode. Next week, it's going to be wall-to-wall episodes almost every day. I might even have a show or two this weekend. And we're going to have you covered. Then after the picks are made, you're going to have breakdowns of every pick. So please subscribe to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network wherever you listen to your podcast. And also, just thank you. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes out of your day to listen to the podcast that we have up here on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I know you have a ton of podcast options these days, whether it's stuff with the Dolphins or non-Miami Dolphins topics. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who takes a few minutes out of their day to listen to our Miami Dolphins content. All right, so as I said, Chris Greer, we're going to learn a lot next Thursday and Friday after nights 1 and 2 of the draft are over. I know there's still Saturday and, you know, rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. But really, the draft is made Thursday and Fridays, rounds 1, 2, and 3. Dolphins have picks at 21 and 55. We're going to know the approach Chris Greer is taking here. Is he playing a long game where it's about just adding the best talented players to the roster and be damned what position they play? I just want to add the best players. I don't care if it fills a need. I don't care if it's adding a player at a position that's already one of strength. I just want the best players. Or is he playing a short game where he's looking at this roster and he goes, I have huge holes at these three spots or so, and I need to get a guy who can come in and help me win games in 2024 because that's the most important thing. And there's pros and cons to each approach. There's no wrong way to do this, but it's going to be interesting because this offseason for the Dolphins, you know, to put it nicely, I know some fans think it's been a great offseason. I don't know how anyone can think that. They lost the two best players they lost in Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt. They haven't come close to replacing yet. It's still somewhat early, I guess, but we're in late April, and some of the free agents out there really aren't anything to get excited about. But it's been a modest offseason. They lost a lot of young, ascending players. When you factor in Wilkins, Hunt, Andrew Van Ginkle, I would even say Elliott and Brandon Jones as safety were younger, ascending players. And they replaced them with older guys who have, you know, maybe this is their final year in the league, like a Jordan Poyer, like a Shaq Barrett, who maybe won 2 years at most in the league, left before he hangs it up. So, you know, they have to go into this draft sort of and reshape the roster. And are they going to go with the plug-and-play guys who are going to play a lot as rookies and help them win games in 2024? Or, again, like I said, will they draft best player available? And if that means it's a wide receiver, it's an offensive tackle who might not start in year one, who may be more, who will be to get more projected playing time in 2025 when Armstead and Tyreek are gone, is that, will that be Miami's vision more big picture? And, you know, once again, there's no wrong answer, but I have a feeling Chris Greer, just looking at his history and looking how he sort of attacks the draft, is going to play the long games. And I think, you know, he's going to draft guys in rounds one or two, one and two, who might not start year one or who might not be on the field much in 2024, this upcoming season. And I think the fans might have to reset their expectations and understand, you know, that 2024 may be that pause season or that step back season that's sort of been talked about, you know, by the NFL Network and the Miami Herald and some other outlets, including myself here at this outlet. That might be the case. And we're going to know Thursday and Friday night, because if Miami, you know, in round one takes a, or round two takes a wide receiver who's going to be a third wide receiver, he's not going to start. You know, third wide receivers are on the field a lot, but they don't start. If Miami takes a left tackle in round one who doesn't have the flexibility to move into guard, and he's going to be a pure backup come week one in September. If Miami takes a safety in round two, or even, God forbid, round one, someone like Cooper DeJean, who's more of a cornerback safety type, who's not going to start, but he's going to be more of a third safety. If you know, there's been so many mock drafts that have Miami taking a tight end in round two, well, let's be honest, it's going to be a third stringer behind Janu and Smythe. That's Chris Greer playing a long game. He's like, these aren't huge positions of need, but the best player on the board is somebody at this position, and I ain't passing them up because I want the most talented players on this roster, position be damned. And as Dolphins fans, would you be okay with that? I'm literally asking because I don't know. I mean, I'd be okay with that because I understand 2024 might be a rocky year, and if we can add just good, it's never bad to pass on good players. And if you already have two tight ends you like, and the best player staring at your face on your board is a great tight end, well, take the tight end, and that means you got now three great tight ends, even though you still have a hole at guard, you still have a hole at, you know, edge rusher and tackle up front. I get it. But I know some fans are going to feel that's a mistake. But, you know, he's drafting not just for this year, but also the future. And you got to look at just beyond 2024. And that might mean that Miami's going to struggle in 2024. They might not make the playoffs. They might come in third in the AFC East. But again, because the past two drafts, they had four picks in 2022 and only four picks in 2023. None in the first round, only one in the second round. You know, it's a bare cupboard. There's not a lot of young talent. I mean, there's young talent on this Dolphins team, but there's not enough to provide the depth that you need. Yeah, Waddle's young, Jalen Phillips young, but those guys were picked in rounds one. They're about to end their rookie contracts. I'm talking about the guys you get in rounds four, five, six, and seven, who are, you know, your second stringers, who you kind of need in this league to fill out a roster. But then on the other hand, Chris Greer might be like, I ain't wasting 2024. This team's too good, and I have glaring holes at offensive guard, edge rusher, and defensive tackle. And if I draft guys in rounds one or two to fill those holes, you know, we got a chance to win the AFC East this year. We got a chance to make some noise in the playoffs, and we're going to put our best team on the field in 2024 by drafting those guys who are going to help me now. So I might pass on, not me, Chris Greer might pass on a player, you know, say like a Mims, who might be an all-world left tackle, you know, for 10 years in the NFL, but I got to get a guy who's going to help me in 2024 to, you know, get past the first round of the playoffs and maybe win the AFC East. So he might pass on the quote-unquote best player available on the board to draft a guard who's going to help me win now, or draft an edge rusher who's going to help me win now. So that's kind of the dilemma Miami is in, because, you know, the short-sighted view is we have to replace Wilkins and Hunt ASAP, rounds one and two. I don't care which order. Give me someone who can play offensive guard week one, and give me someone who I can plug on that line next to Zach Sealer, who's going to be a defensive lineman who can start week one and let's go, let's try to win in 2024. But the long view, or the long game view, is, you know, Chris Greer is seeing I have holes in Wilkins and Hunt, but a year from now, I might have to cut Chubb. I might have to cut Armstead. I might have to cut Tyreek to make sure I can keep a Waddle and a Jalen Phillips. And, oh, yeah, Javon Holland, who doesn't play a premium position, he's in a final year. His deal, I might not have any money to pay him after I pay Tua, after I pay Waddle, after I pay Jalen Phillips. So I have to think about backfilling those holes now instead of waiting to 2025. So if I draft a safety, well, next year, Jordan Poyer is probably going to be retired. Javon Holland might not be here. So, yeah, he's a third safety this year. He might be a starting safety for the next 4 years after that. And there's that logic that, you know, Chris Greer has to navigate here. He's got to play chess. He can't play checkers. So, you know, last season, it's funny because last season, when Miami took Cam Smith in round two, a lot, and by a lot, I mean like most, Miami Dolphins fans lost their minds. And we're stomping mad. We have Ramsey. We have Howard. Why are you taking another cornerback? Well, two reasons. Chris Greer loves drafting premium position players in rounds one and two. What other premium positions? Quarterback, offensive tackle, wide receiver, cornerback, and edge rusher. Check that box, Cam Smith. And two, he was the best player available on the board. You know, I believe I've heard from some sources, can't confirm it, that Chris Greer had Cam Smith with a first-round grade. So you're to pick whatever they were. Cam Smith falls there. You know, I'm taking him. Even though I don't really need a corner now, I'm taking him. So, and plus they also had Kader Kohu, who's coming off a sensational rookie season. Why are you drafting Cam Smith? Well, that's Chris Greer's logic. So, you know, because remember heading into that draft last year, the biggest needs were on the offensive line. And tight end. We didn't have a tight end. There was a million tight ends in round two going off the board. Chris Greer ignored both and go, I'm taking another corner because that's a premium position and that's what I want to do. And, you know, so if you think Chris Greer has fundamentally changed his thought process in the past 365 days and how he operates, sit down. I got some bad news for you. You might be a little naive on that. So next week on Thursday or Friday, if in round one, Miami selects Tyler Guyton or Mims, you know, in round one, and those guys aren't starting week one because they can't handle the transition to guard for a year, and they're not going to get into the starting lineup for 2025 when Armstead is no longer on the team. That's possible. And then in round two, if he takes a safety like Javon Bullard out of Georgia, who this year is going to be, you know, third behind Holland and Jordan Poyer on the depth chart, and he won't be on the field as a quote-unquote starter opening day, well, you know, don't say I didn't warn you, because that's kind of what Chris Greer's logic is here. So, again, I don't know what he's going to do, though. I mean, it's either the short game or the long game. What's his vision for this team? Does he feel the pressure? Does he feel like he's on a hot seat? If so, he's got to play the short game and get guys who are going to help him, you know, this year in 2024 to help him win games. If he feels comfortable in his job and feels like, you know, even if we take that quote-unquote step back, only win 8 games this year, miss the playoffs, I'm not getting fired. Well, then he's got to think, well, okay, let me get the two best players that I can add to this roster, because next year this roster is going to look different. We're going to probably have to move on from a couple of these older guys with big contracts to have some more cap space. We got to pick around 1, 2, and then 3 picks around 3 in 2025. I can reshape some of the roster that way. But let me add 2 very good players. I don't care what the position is this year, because I know next year they're going to be expected to be in larger roles. I get it. I mean, I'm not saying I agree, but I kind of get it. And that's why this makes next week so interesting for the Dolphins. They're at a crossroads. They're literally at a crossroads in that the past few years, yes, they've won a lot of games, but they have had no postseason success. And now a lot of the young players that helped them win a lot of games, their contracts are up. And what do they do? You know, of course, you want to keep all of them, but we know that's not feasible. We just lost 2 of the key pieces this offseason. And between Holland, Phillips, and Waddle, I don't know if we're going to be able to keep all 3. So, you know, maybe we keep 2. And, of course, we're about to pay our quarterback, too, in Tua. So it's going to be interesting, the approach Chris Greer takes. And it's one of those things. I don't know. You listening, you don't know. And if any other podcast or show out there is telling you that they know, well, they're lying to you. Nobody knows. But if I had to bet a buck, I might think Chris Greer is playing the long game here. And just like how everyone, I don't want to say everyone, but a lot of fans of the Dolphins were just so upset when he took Cam Smith in round two last year. You know, don't be shocked if he doesn't take, you know, we don't need another, insert the name of a position here. Why is he taking them? We don't have someone to replace Wilkins. We don't have someone to replace Hunt. He passed on those five guys to take this. We already are set at that position. He might do that again because that's been his approach since he's been in power in Miami. So there's that. The other thing I want to bring up real quick is something else I think fans have to consider as our Miami Dolphins are sort of transitioning into this new phase or this new, I don't want to say new era, more of a new phase. And that is, this is the final season of Tua on his rookie deal. And I'm not getting into a whole debate about the extension. Here's the deal. He's getting an extension. Now, how big it is, I have no earthly idea. But if you're still holding out hope that they're not going to pay him and they're going to move on from him, or it's not happening. Or they're going to let him play out the fifth year and see how it goes and maybe sign him next year or put the franchise. It's not happening. He's going to sign a long-term extension, you know, in the next, you know, 8 to 10 weeks. Whenever. I don't know when. It's happening, though. That's reality. Not hating, stating, I live in facts. You should, too. That's reality. But the point is, you know, when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal, you can do what Miami's done the past few years. You know, trade a bunch of picks, pay Tyreek Hill a boatload of money. Trade for Ramsey and give him a big money deal. Go out there and pay Armstead. Oh, it's late October. Trade for Bradley Chubb and give him a new contract. Pay him a ton of money. You can just throw the money around because you're not paying your quarterback significant money. Well, once that changes, and I know technically if he signs a new contract extension like now, it really doesn't go into effect till after the season 2025. But really, you know, the hard truth is Chris Greer and the Dolphins are sort of transitioning now. They're in that next phase now. Like, we got to pay our quarterback. Let's get all our ducks in a row. And once you have to, quote unquote, pay a quarterback, how you win in this league changes. You just can't go out there and go crazy spending with talent. You have to build your roster differently. And what I mean by that is you just can't overload one position on a roster, because when quarterbacks get paid this kind of money, they tie up so much of your salary cap. I don't care how much the cap goes up. They're tying up the most significant piece of your salary cap. You cannot just like have an overloaded area on your roster, whatever position group, just making like a ton of money or throwing in a ton of high draft capital. Example, you look at the offensive line for Miami. Austin Jackson's a former first-round pick. Armstead, you paid a lot of money to. Wynn is also a former first-round pick. Not by Miami, but he's a former first-round pick. Aaron Brewer, you gave a decent-sized contract to. And oh yeah, you traded a third-round pick to move up to the top of round two to take Liam Eichenberg. Now, did all these moves work out perfectly? No. Liam Eichenberg's never lived up to where he was picked. I would say Armstead's always hurt, even though you're paying him like a guy who should be on the field all the time. Austin Jackson took to year four for him to even look halfway decent. But the point is, can Miami afford to invest another early round pick, round one or two, on offensive line, when you've invested so much in that position already? And if you do, what other position on the team is going to suffer? Okay? Because look at the defensive line. Zach Sealer, I think, you know, they claimed him off waivers. I mean, nobody wanted this guy, and he's turned out to be a stud and a superstar, God bless him. But, you know, he's just a guy that they claimed, and yes, now he's making halfway decent money, but there wasn't a big investment there from draft capital's perspective or a trade perspective. Now it's just more of a financial one, and even his contract's very team-friendly. And then you look at the other guys now, with Wilkins gone, with Raekwon gone, on that defensive line, the, you know, Tarts of the world, Jonathan Harris's of the world, Neville Gallimore's of the world. These are just guys who are, you know, I hate to say this, but scrubs on some level, who aren't making big money. Like, that position group needs either a big ticket free agent signing or a first or second round pick on it to raise the talent level of the defensive line. Now, if you draft another offensive lineman, use another first-round pick on an offensive lineman, or another first- or second-round pick on an offensive lineman, I should say, the defensive line is still suffering some. And you cannot be so overloaded with your draft capital and your money in one position group, even if you've made mistakes there. If you've made mistakes, you kind of got to live with it, and you got to kind of got to hope to fix it through coaching and make and have another position group suffer. That's just kind of how you got to navigate creating a roster when your quarterback is now going to be the guy taking up a significant part when previously he wasn't because he was just on a very modest rookie contract. So that's kind of where Miami's sort of entering in this new phase now, and that is how we build the roster and how we win. Because the past 2 years, Mike McDaniel's first 2 years, the roster was overloaded with talent because they could afford to pay multiple edge rushers, and they could afford to go out there and pay, you know, and trade for Tyreek and part with draft picks, and trade for Ramsey, part with draft picks, trade for Chubb, you know, part with draft picks, and just overwhelm teams with talent at, you know, pretty much every position. Even when they gave Howard his last new contract, you know, they didn't have to, but they paid him a lot of money because they didn't want to lose him. Now that's not going to be feasible. Once that, you know, now we're in this new phase where the quarterback's going to take up a big chunk, and, you know, you got to make tough decisions, and you got to hit on your draft picks more. You can't just part with draft picks because you're going to need those guys that you get in rounds 3, 4, 5, and 6, even though we don't have a pick this year in rounds 3 or 4, you know, yet. Of course, I could always trade down and get one. You need to hit on those guys, and you need those guys for the first 4 years of the rookie contracts to come in and play, because you just can't go out there and sign everybody. You can't go out there and keep everybody. You can't go out there and pay everyone. You know why? Because if you could, every team would, and every team can't. So when people say the cap's not real or this, that, and the other, they're, you know, it's not a black and white issue. The cap's real. Yes, it can be manipulated, but eventually you got to pay the piper. That's the reality of it. So when people say it's not real and some people say it's real, it's like, well, the truth's in the middle. You know, it's not a black and white yes or no type of situation. You know, so, you know, and once again, you look at a position like wide receiver. You know, some fans think if Brian Thomas is there in round 1, Miami should take him. And I understand why they say that. But then the flip side is, well, we took Waddle 6 overall. We're going to have to pay him a ton of money. We traded a first, a second, and then paid Tyreek, you know, close to $30 million a year, you know, over the course of his time here so far. You want to use another first or second round pick on a wide receiver? Can't we find a third wide receiver elsewhere, like, say, around June 1st when all that money frees up with Odell Beckham? Wouldn't that be a better use of a first or second round pick to add to a weaker position, maybe like linebacker, maybe like edge rusher, maybe like defensive tackle? You put the pick there to sort of plug a hole there, and we can get a third wide receiver somewhere else and sort of kick the can down the road on that till next year. So that's kind of those are the two big things I think we are really going to find out about Chris Greer in the next week. The roster construction, the short-term view versus the long-term vision. Which one will he approach? Is he going to try to get guys who can come in and play this year in rounds 1 and 2 to help us win in 2024? Or is he going to be like, I understand we have holes, but I got to get the two best players. I don't care if that means I'm drafting a corner and a safety in round 1 or 2. I'm going to draft them because they're the two best players, and that's going to help us, you know, 2025, 2026, 2027. That's the first one. And the second one is, will he, you know, overinvest in one position? I'm not against adding to the offensive line. I would take one around one if the right guy's there. If the right guy who can play guard this year and then be our left tackle of the future, whether it's the offensive lineman from Washington or somebody else, I don't know. You know, if that guy's there at 21 and they take him, great pick, not going to be mad. But if he's not there and you're just taking offensive lineman who can't play, who cannot play guard for a year, and he's going to sort of sit and, you know, maybe he plays a couple games when Armstead's out, but then when Armstead comes back, he goes back to the bench. He's only on the field for like 4, 5, 6 games this year. Well, that's a different type of approach he's taking then. So we'll see what they do. It's going to be very interesting. That's the part, you know, we get so caught up in talking about the players. Talk about this player. I want that player. I want Verse. I want Latu. I want Newton. I want Murphy. I hope they take Brian Thomas Jr. I hope they take the offensive lineman from UConn in round 2. It's like the names. it's a, what Chris Greer has to do is not only find the right names to pick, but also what's the vision? And I think the vision is almost more important than the names, because is his plan that we got to try to get back and have a roster equally as talented as it was in 2023. So hopefully, if we don't get so many injuries, that we go further in 2024 than we did in 2023. Or is the vision, okay, got to take one step back before we take two steps forwards here, and let's just add the best players, be damned with a position, because I know I have a lot of moving parts here with Tua, with Waddle, with Phillips, with Holland. Over the next 12 to 24 months, I don't know how it's going to shake out. Am I going to move on from guys like Chubb and Armstead and possibly Tyreek after this year? It's very possible. It's very possible. And so that's a lot of key players that you have to navigate, get their money in line, and, you know, who are going to be your key pieces moving forward beyond this year. So we'll see. Less than a week away. Draft's almost here. I'm kind of sick of looking at mock drafts. I know I got a ton of them up on our site because they're fun to look at. And some of these people who put them together are very, very, very smart. And they're very tied in. Like the ones from Peter Schrager, he talks to a lot of people. Mel Kiper, he's been doing this forever. I know fans like to make fun of him. It's still Mel Kiper at the end of the day. He invented this sort of cottage industry of the draft. He's very smart. Jeremiah from the NFL Network is extremely smart. There's people from The Athletic and at CBS Sports who do this, you know, year-round. They're very smart. And again, are they going to hit all their picks in a mock, right? No, absolutely not. But the logic behind the picks are usually from stuff they're hearing from people tied in and people who are like slipping them info. So that's why those mocks are interesting to look at. And we'll see. We will see. So that's all for today's show. Hope everyone enjoyed listening. Thank you again for listening here to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. We do appreciate it. Be sure to subscribe to that podcast on whatever platform you're listening to. Hit that subscribe button. And if you're watching on YouTube, please smash that like button now. And also, make sure you are subscribed, because next Thursday and Friday, if you don't want to hear ESPN's coverage, if you don't want to hear the NFL Network's coverage, you can just turn the volume down and sort of watch on TV, but listen to us, because we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage with myself, Tom, Ian, Stephen D., Jason Sarney, Josh, Aaron, and many, many others joining throughout the night to sort of give our take in real time on the draft, how it plays out. And then, of course, when Miami gets on the clock, all of that as well. Everyone, thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, at also Instagram and Threads at Dolphins Talk there. And check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. Everyone, have a great Friday. We'll talk to you again after a while. And folks, please don't forget that we must put an end to highway profanity.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.